we can turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll just read verses 1 and 2. Second Corinthians for this morning, chapter 1, and just looking at verses 1 and 2, where Paul writes, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you. And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And this, or something very similar, this greeting, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, is used by Paul in just about all his letters. So we really this morning could have turned to any one of those letters as our text today, because today we're just simply going to think about these words, grace and peace. It's a greeting that the other apostles also used in their letters. So Peter uses it, and John and Jude, grace and peace. Sometimes other things are thrown in as well. John will say, grace, mercy, and peace. Jude will say, mercy, peace, and love be with you, or be multiplied to you. Well, we'll pray, and then I'd like us, just as a single study this morning, to consider this Christian greeting. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that your great and abundant grace and that your peace would be in our hearts and minds and upon us. And we pray that now as we look into your word, that you would show yourself to us. Glorify yourself. Show us the hope and encouragement of your grace and of your gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would take your word in the power of the Spirit and work in our hearts and minds, in Christ's name. Amen. So this is the Christian greeting that we read in the New Testament. Grace and peace, or some variation of it, that really all the apostles and the authors use. And Charles Spurgeon said, the gospel is good news, and the man who has to preach it is full of good wishes. He wishes the best possible things to everybody with whom he comes in contact. And so we see Paul at the beginning of his letters wishing grace and peace to the Christians. It's said by one commentator that in these two words, in these words, grace and peace, are contained the richest blessings of the gospel. That grace and peace, even though this is sort of a simple greeting, and perhaps our ears and our eyes are kind of used to it as we read through the scriptures, that these two words really, in a sense, we could say contain all the blessings of heaven and earth, spiritual and temporal and eternal. We could also say that, in a sense, these two things, even in the Christian greeting that the believers have for one another, grace and peace, we could say that in a sense, these two things, grace and peace from God, even though it's just a small greeting, you almost have the summarized gospel right in a greeting. For that's what the gospel is. It is good news. It is good tidings of great joy. It is glad news of good things, of salvation. And the gospel is good news of God's grace, of God's kindness and love, and of favor from God. And that God's grace leads to peace. Peace with God, peace in our hearts, the peace that every sin we've ever done is forgiven us, that we are free, the peace that we no longer belong under death, but that we have eternal life. Grace and peace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who became incarnate, God the Son that we sang about in that wonderful song about the Trinity. God the Son becoming incarnate and becoming a man and taking all of our sins upon himself and bearing them away to the cross and suffering and dying in our place, suffering the due and just penalty for our sins as our substitute and taking them away, removing our sins out of God's sight and out of our sight. The Bible says in Hebrews, he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And then he rose again. And that by his grace and grace alone, he freely gives forgiveness of all sins and righteousness and justification and eternal life. The text even says, from God, our Father. My understanding, as I've looked at other religions, for example, in Islam, as you read the Quran, God is not a father. God is a master, and you're a slave. But in Islam, no, God is not your father. That's far too familiar. But the Lord Jesus, when he comes to earth, he says, when you pray, say, our Father who is in heaven. And so it reminds us that God is a gracious and a good Father. And so in a way, it's a summary of the gospel almost. And what we see here and in all these other letters, whether it's Paul or Peter or John or Jude, they always start the same. They always start with grace. It always starts with the grace of God, with his favor and kindness, as he approaches us sinners to give us his grace and his peace. It's interesting. I like the way Peter says it. Peter will say, grace and peace be multiplied to you. So certainly we do have God's grace and peace in the gospel, but there's a sense where the apostles are writing to believers here. So there is a sense where our experience of God's grace and God's peace in our lives can be multiplied. In other words, we can experience and feel and sense more of his grace and more of his peace. So it's not like a one-time thing. It's not like just at the beginning of the Christian life, you get a freight load of grace and peace, and then that's all you got. But grace and peace, and we can walk in it, and it can be multiplied to us. And that is what Paul is wishing. As I say, he's writing to Christians. He's writing to believers and wishing that they will experience and have more and more of God's grace and of God's peace in their lives. Now, this is an interesting thing that Paul does here, because what Paul does, he takes the common Greek greeting that the secular Greeks would use. He uses a similar word, and he takes the common Greek Gentile greeting, and he takes the common Hebrew greeting, and he brings both of them together from both of those societies, the Gentiles and the Hebrew. And he unites both of those common greetings that those groups respectively had. He unites it together in one. Even as God unites all mankind together as one body in Christ, whether we be Jew or Greek or Roman. So it's interesting that he kind of takes the greetings from both and uses both. But he doesn't just use the common greetings, but he elevates the whole thing and sort of infuses them in this wonderful prayer-like greeting to his readers. And I read an article that talked about how believers around the world adapt these type of biblical greetings, these kind of Christian, God-centered, Christ-centered, gospel-proclaiming greetings when they see each other. So when they greet each other, or when they're even when they're leaving. So we here in America, many times we say hello, hi, good morning, goodbye. And some of those terms originally had the name of God in them. My understanding is that goodbye comes from the phrase, God be with you. But in our modern parlance, you know, I think we really don't, unless you happen to know that's the etymology of the phrase, God's not in the greetings that we have. But among the Christians around the world, many believers are encouraging that we greet one another in these ways. And as we do, we can rejoice in, and even in a simple greeting to each other, suddenly our interaction is sanctified and elevated. Even a common thing, hello or hi, but saying, oh, grace to you, my brother. God's blessings and peace to you through Christ, my sister. The whole thing is infused with Christ and just like lifts us up to heaven in a greeting. So it kind of helps us. And I've had people do this. I've had people that do this, and it's a great blessing. People have greeted me that way, and you kind of adapt it. And it's really a great blessing, because then you see each other on Tuesday or Thursday, or you bump into each other at Walmart, and you're in the busyness of life. You're in the battle, the day-to-day stuff, and then suddenly here's a believer for right in front of you, and you're greeting one another with the grace of Christ. And suddenly it's like that little oasis in the middle of your week where it kind of helps you to zoom out, and now all of a sudden I go from the day-to-day problems, maybe the guilts or the frustrations of the week, but hearing a greeting like that and giving a greeting like that can be a wonderful reminder and encouragement. We can wish grace and peace and rejoice in God together. I remember getting an email from a church years ago, and I didn't even know the particular man who was emailing me on behalf of his church, but that was his greeting in the email. It was just there was something about it that really made an impression. You know, greetings and grace and peace to you from our wonderful Savior Jesus. And you're sitting there in your office and you're reading an email. It's like, oh man, the name of Jesus and the grace of God. And it kind of just reminds you, it comes flooding back and reminds you in the midst of all the junk and stuff. Like, yeah, and it helps you to take a deep breath like, yeah, there's grace here. And God is good. And Christ is our Savior. So it's a blessing. So I was reading this greeting here in 2 Corinthians this week. And these two words made an impression on me. And you know, there can be some pretty wonderful times when if you slow down and you're just sitting there in the chair with your open Bible, just reading and meditating and praying, sometimes the Spirit can even just look at one or two little words and make it flash off the page. And that kind of happened to me as I was reminded again this week. I was actually staying at my brother's house. My uncle passed away, and I went up and spent time with family and things. So it was kind of a long drive and a long trip. And there was one morning I was sitting there, and before, you know, they have a little guest room I can stay in, which is nice, my brother David. And I was just staying there. And before I went out to kind of be in the house, just kind of reading there and praying, because, you know, you have the viewing, and then you have the funeral, and you have stuff. So you want to kind of go into it with a fullness. And so just sitting down and reading that, and grace and peace be with you. That's a great blessing. So let's talk about it. Grace is God's love. It is his kindness. It is God's favor. It is God's goodness and his acceptance of us that God has grace for us. Grace is the gift of God. Grace is the blessing of God that he bestows upon you. And grace is power and divine enablement. Grace is a gift from God. It's a touch from God. Imagine that. It's not something that I well up or manufacture in my own heart. But God's grace is what comes down to us from heaven, bestowed upon us by God. It is a divine gift. So we as believers are engraced people. We are people who have been touched by the grace of God. And because of that, because we have experienced and responded to the goodness and grace of God, we have great peace. Because of grace, God's grace makes everything all right. And that's kind of the idea of peace in the Bible. Peace. It's not just a lack of anxiety or a lack of hostility, although that is certainly a huge part of it. But peace, according to the, especially in the Jewish mindset, shalom, it meant everything is right with the world. It meant wholeness. It meant completeness. It meant well-being in a total kind of a way. It is peace. You know, all the pieces of our lives and all the things, everything is made right and complete. And at least we can have the sense of that because of God's grace. Because of God's grace, a person can sit back and truly say, I have forgiveness. I'm forgiven. And those things aren't in my life anymore. Or if they are in your life, you can say, I'm forgiven and God's grace is here to give me power to walk with the Lord. So, God's grace. Well, I was also thinking as I sat in that chair in the little guest room at my brother's house, it must have been because VBS was this past week and the theme was Psalm 23. And so as I sat and read this Bible open on my lap and read these words, grace and peace, in the midst of kind of all of that going on with travel and family stuff and funeral stuff, grace and peace. The words from the 23rd Psalm were brought to mind. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And as I read this greeting and looked at that word, grace, and just kind of sat there in the morning light, as you read, you can then relate to God and turn it into a prayer and just say, pour out your grace upon me. Anoint me with the oil of your grace. And then I began thinking about, when you think about scripture, there's all these different uses for oil, and maybe you studied some of that and conveyed that to the children. That shepherds do put oil on sheep, and also in the Bible, anointing with oil is something very common. Oil had such wonderful advantages and blessings to it. Oil was used medicinally. It was used as a medicine. It was used to soothe. It was used to comfort. Oil was used to refresh. You know, in hot climates, sandy climates, you know, it was customary for hosts to offer their guests oil. So something to cool, and then that, you know, that you have that oil on your, perhaps your face and your arms and body, and then when the wind goes by, there's that cooling, refreshing effect in the midst of that warm climate. So just the oil, and as I said, in my prayer to the Lord, as I combined that here with this prayer of Paul, grace be with you. And I just sat and thought, yes, Lord, anoint me with the oil of your grace. God's grace comforts, it soothes, it heals, it refreshes, it enlightens. So thinking about that. And then it says, anoint my head with oil. Then the thing next says, my cup overflows. And again, because of God's abundant grace poured out into our hearts and minds and souls, we can experience peace. And that idea of your cup overflowing, everything is okay. God's abundance is there. His blessing is there. His goodness and love for us is there. Our cup is overflowing. We have all that we need. Indeed, we will not lack. So, grace and peace from God, these are powerful concepts. Oh, we need grace and peace. There's a sense in which we can ask for these things in prayer. Paul is wishing them grace and peace, but it really seems to be almost a prayer. He's praying, really, that God's grace and peace would be with them. And so there's a sense in which we can do this. We can sit there in the chair and one-on-one with God alone, and we can look to the Lord, and we can kind of raise empty hands towards Him, right? I'm empty, I'm weak, I'm needy, I'm dry, I've got nothing. Fill me with your grace and give me your peace. So we can request for it and recognize the need of it. Grace is a gift. Grace is God's blessing. It's God's giving you a gift. It's the blessing of His favor. It's the blessing of His love and His acceptance and His embrace. And immediately, perhaps we say, but I don't deserve it. And ba-da, that's why it's grace. It's grace. That's what grace is. That it's undeserved. It's unworthy. We don't merit it. But boom, that's grace. Just like we talked about that father of those prodigal sons. We can pray for the Lord certainly to fill us with the Holy Spirit. And by the way, some people read this and they say, well, God the Father is here and the Lord Jesus Christ is in this greeting, but where's the Holy Spirit? He should be there. Yes. Well, and many people believe that, well, He is there, He is implied in it, because the grace and the peace are poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So this indeed is the Trinity coming to us with goodness, with blessings, offering to forgive us, offering to grant us righteousness, offering us all of His resources and a relationship with Him. Not only for non-Christians, but I mean today as a believer, offering you that you can walk in these things with Him. So it is a prayer, and we can pray. Now, the other thing, as I was thinking, is this is grace. This is a special bestowment from God. So, in other words, this is not something just natural. This is not something that you just automatically have. This is not something you are born into the world with. But if you're going to have the grace and peace of God touch your heart and your life, that's not an automatic, natural thing that everyone in the world feels and has. It must be given by His grace. And in a way, His grace and goodness is seen in all of creation and is experienced by all people. Jesus says that God makes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. I like how Luke puts it. He says that our Heavenly Father is kind even to the evil and unthankful. And so, but this grace, I think because people don't recognize their need of it, they shut God out. So the grace is available for them. But my point is, this grace is something special. This isn't, in other words, if you have this in your life as a believer, say at work, you have something that other people around you do not have. They do not have the grace and the peace of God in their hearts the way the child of God does. These are special gifts from God. They're not natural and they're not automatic that everyone in the world has this. It's a divine bestowment. It's a special touch from God. And I expect that we especially enjoy the grace and peace of God when we do what Jesus said and abide in him. Remember, he is the vine. So one author said, you know, the gifts and blessings in the abundant life of Jesus don't come into our lives or exist apart from Jesus. You know, you're really not going to experience much grace and peace, consciously at least, unless you're abiding in him and receiving it all from him. So, it's a wonderful blessing to have God's grace, a heavenly blessing, a heavenly gift from God. So, as I said, the believer is an engraced person and has a special grace. That also means that this isn't of our own doing. This is the grace of God. And when you read some of the old theologians, they speak of those things in a very helpful way. So even things like love or patience with others or kindness, they're spoken of as graces. That's not just you. That's a supernatural love and grace that God must pour into your heart. And so he does. And he does amazing things. Yeah, it's amazing. So, grace and peace, a special gift and favor, a special power and enablement that comes from God. And I think perhaps, in spite of ourselves, even though we all fail, we blow it before the eyes of the world, and then even that can be an opportunity to say, I was wrong, I shouldn't have done that. And to repent publicly, you can teach people how to repent. You could teach your kids how to repent by you repenting to them. I should not have treated you that way. I shouldn't have done that. That was against what God wants me to do. Well, it's a special power, and it's just it's a wonderful blessing to know that there is truly a grace and a peace from God. It's not just words. Paul and all the apostles are not just saying nice, how can I start this letter? I'll just say something nice. It really is, I don't know what to call it, brothers and sisters, a substance, a resource, a blessing. There is really, truly a grace that comes down to us from God and a peace from God. Yeah. A divine enablement totally above ourselves. It's not by nature, it's by grace. And it's a great blessing to be aware of this, that as we look to the Lord, the way Paul is doing here in this letter, as we look to the Lord, as we realize our need of it, and as we turn our eyes to him, and especially as we ask him, Lord, pour out your grace upon me, give me your peace, and help me, that there is a special power and favor and blessing, a special gift from God to enable us and to be with us no matter what's going on. Sometimes, this probably doesn't happen with any of you good people, but sometimes there are tensions in extended families. Oh, no. I'm the only one. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, because I need this job. But sometimes, well, maybe I should do it the way some other people do it. A friend of mine has this family situation, this family issue. But sometimes there's some tough stuff in extended families sometimes. And sometimes when you get together and you're going to something where there is a stressor, you know, a funeral or whatever, and people are going to see each other, people can be a little apprehensive about how's it going to go with so-and-so or whatever. And I hope people don't think that about me. I just realize that they might think, oh, no, I'm going to see that guy and whatever. I hope that's not the way it is, but it could be. But, you know, even like on the way driving over to the viewing, I drove with my parents in their car over and just said, you know, can I just pray a minute and we'll ask for it. Because many in the family, you know, some are, it appears not believers and others are, but let's just take a deep breath before we get out of the car and go in. Let's just pray for a special grace and peace from God, that he would comfort our hearts and then that he would comfort others through us So you know you can do that, and there really is a special grace and peace. And it's just a great blessing to know that we have this grace, this gift, this blessing from God for temptations we might face throughout the day, for difficult circumstances we might walk through. All sorts of things can happen. And if we can become aware of this and then turn to the Lord for his grace and peace, we can really appreciate this wonderful blessing. When you begin to feel yourself, right, like slipping, like when you're aware, when you're very aware, I'm losing it, you know, I'm about to lose it. Or when you're aware that I'm about to lose my patience, or whatever it may be, or indeed some other temptation or some irritation or frustration. You know, my father, he used to, sometimes we'd hear him, he's a big, strong guy, and sometimes, and he very, a Christian man, and sometimes we would hear him saying, oh, Lord, give me strength. He kind of like yelled it, though, throughout the house. We were like, hear our prayer, Lord, give him strength, that give him love and patience. But, yeah, but we really can. Perhaps don't growl it when you say it. Don't say, Lord, but we really can. In all truthfulness and in all seriousness, you know, to just be able to know that if it's a situation at work or in the family or there's a difficult situation or there's a stressor or something going on that is difficult and we can feel ourselves, you know, sort of having a struggle or some kind of a hurt or just feeling in ourselves, I'm very tired. I'm very weak, or I'm not feeling well, or I'm feeling tempted, or I'm guilty, or I can feel hurt. I can feel that I'm feeling hurt, or I'm getting impatient or irritated. Whatever it may be, we can come to the Lord and say, Lord, just give me your grace, Lord. So, and I recommend that. Take a breath. Take a deep breath and just say, Lord, I can see, I sense this. But you give me your grace. Your grace is sufficient. And just his love, his favor, his kindness, his goodness, and that peace that he gives. So it really is, we really are extremely blessed that we have this divine gift, really two divine gifts, the grace and the peace from God. I mean, oh my. The touch of God, this divine blessing, this special enablement, this special power, this virtue from God in heaven. And it just reminds us, I'm not alone with this. For the Apostle Paul says later, not I, but the grace of God which was in me. And so we can walk in the grace of God and have peace with him. So there are wonderful blessings here, grace and peace. And what a wonderful way to go through life, not on our own and not in our own resources, but with the grace and the real peace of God. You know, it's a wonderful thing. So may we all, each and every one of us, may we all turn towards and live in the fountain of the grace and the peace of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you that you are good and kind, that you're so merciful. We know that you're holy and powerful and you're rightfully angry and wrathful at sin and evil, and that you're a just and holy God who wants to mete out what is due that. And we thank you so much at the same time, where sin abounded, your grace abounded, and you took our sins and put them on Christ. And there he took all of the anger and punishment and wrath that the sins we commit do deserve. We thank you that you've taken those things out of the way for all who just turn to you and accept these free gifts. Lord, we pray, remind us of the gospel. Help us to remind one another of the gospel just in these simple greetings. Grace and peace to you from Christ. And Father, we pray that you would help us as believers, similar to these Corinthians that Paul was writing to. Help us throughout our daily lives to have your grace and your peace abounding into our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.